If you would stand with me for the reading of God's word in Exodus chapter 4. Before that, I also would like to thank this church as well. It seems like I've been going last night till this morning nonstop. Forgive my exhaustion. Sometimes my words may slip. The right ones, I hope. Amen. But I just want to say that a lot of people fill the gaps. You know, all of a sudden, when there's a need, there's people stepping in going, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You take care of what you got to take care of. And I want you to know, that's the biggest blessing to me. I was so exhausted, I have to admit to you, I got home and I just knelt and wept. But I thank God he's faithful. Amen. And he takes care of us in our situations. He strengthens us. You know, we just got it. Sometimes, you know, after I got up from prayer, I was so encouraged. Sometimes, like David, we need to just go to a place called Ziklag. After Ziklag, David has lost his family and everything. It's not the message, but I'm just giving you this for free. And listen, he went to a place and retrieved himself. And all the Bible says is he encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes we need to do that. Amen? That's not the message. But let's read on. I'm sorry. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is it? What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, and that the God of Abraham, and that the God of Isaac, and that the God of Jacob have appeared unto thee. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings, for your grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our strength, that without thee we can't do nothing. We pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you so will speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever wonder why God uses you? You know, I'm glad that God is not concerned about how popular we are. God is not concerned about how rich we are. God is not concerned about what we may possess. God is just concerned about us. And I'm encouraged that God can use me, especially when I read that verse that says, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You know, I'm glad that I'm in a church full of people that have a desire to be used of God. God has chosen you to please him. And listen, he's given you gifts so that you can use them as it pleases him. Because in reality, our lives is all about pleasing God. You know, it's a very important step of growth when we remember, excuse me, in our lives that our purpose is to please God. It is our reasonable service, the Bible says. It is what we are giving God. Listen, our purpose, our main purpose is that God created us in his image to please him. And it should be your overwhelming desire to please God. And here, Moses finds himself, I guess in amazement, here we find him in this experience on the mount where God is speaking to him. And God says in amazement, he said, I'm going to go to a people, to an unbelieving people. And how are they going to know? And how are they going to know? They're not going to believe me. No, they're not going to listen to me. Don't you wish sometimes that God would speak audibly to everybody around you? It'd be so much easier, wouldn't it? It'd be so much easier if God just spoke audibly and others would just, you know, I mean, you wish that would happen. But God has not chosen to work that way. We have all kinds of ideas how God ought to do things, don't we? You probably have ideas right now how God should be doing things. It's amazing how the human mind can think and it can rationalize and think that it can tell almost God what to do. God, if you did it this way, it'd be so much easier. Haven't you ever had a conversation with somebody and after you're done, you say, now that we solved all the world's problems, what else are we moving into? Because you're full of opinions, just like I am. And in reality, you know, it's funny, we designed the puppet downstairs that we use. It's called the Mrs. Brewster, the Righteous Church Lady. You know, one of the ideas she has is to help everybody with their sermon. Because she is so right, and everybody else is so wrong. And sometimes in our Christian life, listen, we can become opinionated that way. But in reality, listen, we ought to be, if there's one thing we need to learn in the Christian life, is that we serve God with humility. We don't conform him to what we think he should be. We ought to conform ourselves to his will and allow us to transform us. And here Moses said, Lord, I'm going to go to an unbelieving people. But they're not going to hearken to me. They're not going to listen to me. You may not think much of yourself today. But I want you to know something. God thought so much of you that he was willing to send his son to die for you. You may not think much of yourself, but I want you to know God thinks a lot of you. God is willing, listen, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It was God that sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that if you don't know him to them, you through him could have eternal life, can have forgiveness of sin. One of the greatest things I ever heard is that I could have forgiveness of sin, that my past didn't matter, that what I have done did not matter. What mattered was what Jesus did at the cross at Calvary. And as long as I was willing to confess my sins, and as long as I was willing to come before him and ask me to forgive me, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? Because he loves me. In reality, God loves you tonight. God loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you. And they said, Lord, listen, he said, they were not going to believe me. But it's not about believing in you. It's amazing how sometimes we are trying to win people so much over that we try to, first of all, win them over to us. But in reality, we need to be winning them to the Lord. Nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. You know, Moses is one of my favorite characters. I want you to go with me to Hebrews 11, and I'll show you why. One of the things I learned about Moses, and you read as you read about Moses, is that Moses had more than most people could ever want. Now, he did have he was a Jew, but of course, he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. Moses had the best that the world had to give at that point in time. He had the best education. He had the best, the riches of Egypt. Everything that he needed was at Moses' hand. And in Hebrews chapter 11, when we talk about that book, we talk about the Hall of Fame of Faith. We see the faith of those that are here. But one of the verses that stands out here is a verse to me that speaks of Moses. And I'm trying to find it here, but here when it speaks of Moses, look at verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Now, when you read that story, you read about Moses' mother putting her baby in this pitch-lined basket and putting it upon the Nile. And the reason she did it was to protect them from the command that the king had given that every child was to be born, for he was afraid of an uprising. And so here he's this future leader. The devil is really in charge of this. He tries to stamp out the life of Moses. But Moses' mother did not react out of fear. She reacted out of faith. She trusted that even though she did an act that seemed to be drastic, she put this child in a basket and let it go upon the waters. She trusted God to lead the basket the rest of the way. Now, I wonder how many of us have that faith. But then it says of Moses, and this is my favorite scripture, that I think tonight, I say tonight because it just speaks to me so much tonight. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now you think about that. Moses, in that position of being a son of Pharaoh's daughter, had the riches of that present-day world at his fingertips. He had everything the world could give. He had the riches of Egypt. He had the education of Egypt. He had leadership. He was a prince among men. But look at the next verse. He says this, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now listen, Moses took and compared the best that the world had to give at that point, and he compared it to the worst part of the Christian life. And he said, when you look at them both, you can take the worst part of the Christian life and it's still better than anything that the world has to give. Think about it. He said, I'd rather choose to suffer. None of us likes to suffer. Do you like to suffer tonight? We don't like suffering. In fact, you know, one of the amazing things, when I was in that emergency room last night with my wife, the first thing they ask you, what is your level of pain? No, they're not saying, would you like to stay suffering? Would you like to stay in pain? They said, what is your level of pain? And they begin to treat you to try to relieve your pain because nobody likes suffering. If nobody likes persecution. If you're here and tell me, I like being persecuted, you're sick. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes suffering. I hate suffering. I hate to see suffering. You know, I look at this updates of Haiti right now. My heart breaks for those people. When I see the anguish that some of the children are going, that for in 1 second they were left fatherless and motherless and orphaned in the streets. And I think about, you know, I hate suffering. And I want you to know, in the Christian life, we know that suffering. Listen, in life, suffering happens. It just does. It's a lot easier when you have Jesus Christ, amen? It's a lot better. Listen, we can be strengthened, not in our power, but by God's power. I'm glad that even though I may suffer in this life, I have a God that carries me all the way through. I have a God that says that all things, what? Work together for good for them that are love God and are called according to his purpose. I'm glad. You ought to be happy, amen? In fact, the Bible says that the disciples at time, Peter and John went to the temple to pray, and all of a sudden they healed a man, and they found themselves glad that they could suffer for Jesus Christ. How do you find suffering? How do you find gladness in suffering? Moses said, I want you to know something. He said, if I really looked at it, if I looked at the best that the world had to give, he said, it does not compare. I'd rather take the suffering than to have the riches of Egypt. Because in suffering, I can see that I'm frail, but I can see the strength of my God, and that's worth everything. And I tell you right now, in suffering, you can see the strength of God. In persecution, you can see the strength of God. I'm glad that in my suffering, I'm not alone. Amen. But there's a God who's in the suffering with me. There's a God, listen, like the Hebrews boy, that in the three Hebrew boys that were cast in the midst of the fire, when the king's servant came by and counted, he said, didn't we put in three? He said, yes. He said, well, I see four. And that fourth one is like unto the Son of God. And I'm telling you tonight, church, it doesn't matter what God calls you to go through. He's in the midst of it with you. Amen. We can count on his strength. And we can count on him bringing us the rest of the way. Moses chose rather to suffer than to enjoy the best that the world had to give. He said, I'd rather have, listen, persecution in my life, because when I see God's hand, I have everything that I need. God is self-sufficient. Well, as we read this portion of Scripture and we see the faith of Moses, we see that he is first questioning, how are they going to know? How are they going to understand? And the Lord says to him this question, what is it that you have in your hands? What is it that you have in thine hand? Listen, he said, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? God knew what it was. But he asked him, he said, what is it that you have felt comfortable with? Moses, of course, had been tending sheep, and he had most likely a shepherd's staff in his hand. And God says, what is it that you have in your hand? In other words, God's saying, look at, where are you right now? What is it that you want? I'm going to prove to you that I'm God. I'm going to prove to those people that I'm God. But right now, Moses said, they're not going to believe me. And God says, let me tell you something. What is it that you have right there? And what God is saying to you tonight, where are you at? What is it that you have in your hand? Listen, I'm certain that God has given us many talents. If you ask me what I had in my hand this morning, I had a puppet in my hand. If God had asked me this morning, what is it that you have in your hand? I would have said, a puppet, Lord. That's what I have in my hand. And what has God placed in your hand? What kind of talent is God giving you? Don't tell me I can't do nothing. There's something you can do. Amen. You know, there's many areas in this church you can serve. There's many areas in the area of Christian service that God wants to use you. But God is willing to meet you where you're at. Moses doubted himself. They're not going to believe me. And God is trying to let him know it's not about you. But the problem is that sometimes in the Christian life, we think it's all about us. And reality is not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about what he has done for us. Listen, I'm nothing but a saved sinner tonight. That's all I am. June 1st, 1980, I came home from high school graduation. There wasn't someone there to lead me to Christ, but I've heard the gospel many times before. And I get home from a graduation. My mom says, would you like to go to church tonight? I said, no. And I tell you what, the moment I said that, God began to deal with me. It was right after high school graduation. I went to my house. I felt the conviction of sin. I knelt next to my couch. And there I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me, forgive me of my sin. And can I tell you, I haven't been the same since. God said to me shortly after that, what is it that you have in your hand? If I ask you today, what is it that you have in your hand? What is it that God's giving you? Maybe it's a burden. Maybe it's just something that you feel that is insignificant. That staff to Moses had probably been a proven thing many times, leading sheep using it to direct and guide, and sometimes maybe hitting some sheep and gearing them in the right direction, or maybe it helped to sustain him as he was walking through the stony area of that right or stony path. Maybe along that path, that staff served to stable his walking. And God says, look at, what is it that you have in your hands? God's saying to you the same thing tonight. What is it that you have in your hand? You know, the thing keeping us from serving God is us. Really? It's our own pride. And sometimes, you know, we know we can do things, but we refuse to do them. But we feel that somebody else is going to do it anyway. You ever see people like that? They're good at criticizing what you do. But they never want to do it. I heard of a black preacher one time, and he preached this message. The message was called, Watch Them Dogs. And it was a great, insightful message. He said, some people in the church are like alley dogs, always have their head in the garbage. He said, people in the church are sometimes like pointers and setters. They don't do nothing, but they sit there and point at everything that needs to get done. And in reality, listen, if God is opening your heart to a burden, if God is letting you see some, don't think that the task is impossible. Because you have a God that makes all things possible. What is it that you have in your hands? Listen, it may be your life. You're saying, Lord, I don't know. Young people, sometimes we say, Lord, I don't know if I can make that commitment of giving my life completely to Jesus Christ. I don't know. There's a cost involved. There is a cost involved. Realize your salvation costs Jesus' life. It's worth it. The Bible says we have been bought with a price. We're no longer ours, but His. The price has already been paid. We belong to Jesus. All we have to do is be willing to say, Lord, I have this life that you have given me, but I know you can do something. Look at the next stage. Look at what he says to him in the next verse. What is it that you have in your hand? And he said, a rod, something he was used to, something that was proven, something that he used in his skill. And he said, cast it on the ground. Now, I think about how sometimes God humbles us, you know. Sometimes we don't serve God because of our own pride, because of things that we feel are too important to us. They're just not. I'm not saying they're not important to God, but you know what? Real important to you is really not that important to God. And did you know that what's important to you, God's already taken care of? Let me tell you, young people, there's nothing that I have given up for the Lord that he has given me a whole lot more in return. There's nothing that you will give up for God that God will not give you a whole lot more in return. But he says, what is it that you have in your hand? And he said, take it and cast it down. You know, I wonder how many times God says to us, what is it that you have in this heart? Are you willing to cast it down? And here's the thing is, in our lives, is about casting down. You know, that casting down to me speaks of humility. God cannot use me unless I'm humble. What does humility say? Is that everything I have, everything I possess, everything that I'm going to have comes from God anyway. He owns it. Anything that he gives me is because of his grace and goodness. And he says, what do you have in your hand? Cast it down. And let me ask you this. Are you willing to throw down? Are you willing to cast down what's keeping you from serving God? Are you willing to cast down that which God has given you? And what did he do? Moses took it and he cast it into the ground. And look at what happened. And on the ground it became a serpent and Moses fled from before it. You know, that moment that Moses threw it down, God changed it. God changed it to prove something, that he was powerful, amen? And can I tell you, the moment that you throw something down for God, the moment that you come to God and you take your pride, whatever it is that's holding you back from serving it, and you're willing to throw it down, God's willing to change it, amen? And he's willing to use it for his glory. It changed. Can you imagine that? You're sitting there. You have this rod in your hand, a proven tool that you have used over and over again. You throw it down, and all of a sudden, before your eyes, God changes it to a serpent. So much so that it scared Moses. The truth of the matter is, if God were to show you right now what he can do with what you can give him, it would scare you right now. Most of the reason we don't serve God is because we're not willing to give up some things, and it scares us. Scares us what others may think. It scares us the level of commitment. You know, every level of commitment is always a scary decision. But God wants you to take you from one level of commitment to the next. In order that you commit your life to him, and he's willing to show you that he's powerful, and he's willing to transform you, and he's willing to change you in what he wants you to become. And here's the best part. It's always for the better. It's always for the best, because God knows that he can change you. He gives the sinner eternal life. Isn't that for the better? He takes the sinner from a road to hell and puts him on a road to heaven. He takes the sinner from a place of lost to a place of being found. He takes the sinner from the darkness and the hatred of sin and fills him with his wonderful love. He takes the sinner dying and gives him eternal life and a home in heaven, as long as he's willing to give his life and cast it down. When you think about your life, that's a precious thing. God's given it to you. When you think about your future, that's a precious thing. But when you give it to God, you throw it down. When you pick it up, he's going to change it. Look at what happens here. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now, we read that he was scared. He fled from before it. God called his attention and said, hey, Moses, look at it. He says, I know you're scared, but put forth your hand. Trust me through it, Moses. And let me tell you something. If there's something that God's going to do in your life, you're going to have to thrust him through it. Amen. It takes faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Listen, God it wants to change your life. And he says to Moses, I want you to stretch forth your hand, reach for it. And when you reach for it, I'm going to change it. And here, Moses sees firsthand the hand of God and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. And once again, it became a rod, the same thing it was before. You know, the truth of the matter is, once we've been transformed by God, we'll never be the same, amen? But God is not going to take your life and give you something worse. God's going to take your life and give you the best. I'm not even going to say better. I'm going to say the best. God knows. I love the statement I read one time. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And I'd rather trust him the rest of the way. You know, someday he's going to return. He's going to give me the best. Amen? He's going to give you the best. As long as you're willing to trust him, he's going to take your life that's been casted down, that's been destroyed, and only God can transform it. You know, the truth that we look to change our lives our own way. And God wants to do it his way. Moses fled. He reacted in fear. Because now he put forth his hand and God changed it. Isn't it amazing that sometimes we pray for something, ask God for it, and when God does it, we're still scared anyway? Or we don't trust him? Or we react sometimes similar to Moses. And God is trying to prove to Moses that, listen, I'm going to be with you. I want you to understand you're not going alone to this children of Egypt. The task that I've given you may be a difficult task, but I'm going to prepare you to do it, and I'm going to be with you. And let me tell you, there's nothing that you give up for God. There's nothing that you do for the Lord that he's not there with you. He took it. And what's the next verse say? That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, that the God of Abraham, that the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have appeared unto them. One of the things I noticed from this verse, number one, God wants everybody to believe. You know what's one of the things, great things about salvation? That Jesus Christ wants to be your personal Savior. I'm glad that God is into names. Amen. He didn't say that the God, he said, no, the God of Abraham. Remember him? Remember Abraham? Remember what I did with Abraham? What God is trying to do here is remind Moses of who he is. He said, remember what I did for Abraham? Remember him? Remember the remember Jacob? Remember him? Remember how I delivered him? Remember how I stood with him? He said, remember how I promised him that I was going to make him mighty? He said, this same God. The same God disappeared unto you. God is the only one that can take your life and change it, so much so that it may scare you. That's why I'm glad that God works on me changes at a time. You know, I love to paint. It's one of the things I do, and it relaxes me. And, you know, sometimes, though, I know what I'm looking at as the person that is painting the paint. I know how it's going to be finished. If you looked at it when I started, you would say, that is junk. You might say that anyway. But You might say, what are you doing with that? That thing doesn't make sense. But see, I know where I'm going with it. You don't. And the truth of the matter, sometimes we are the same way with God. God's got a picture in mind of what he wants to do. And when we begin to do it, we begin to give God instructions on how he should do it. Because we have a better idea. But God sees the finished work. You only see the work in progress. Amen. God knows what he wants to do. Now, he's a skillful. I've seen some people in this church, Brother Mitchell, he's a skillful man. If I try to do what he does, I mess it up. You would have a right to criticize me because I don't know what I'm doing. I've never used those tools. But here's the thing. God knows what he's doing. And if you trust him, he'll change you. I'm glad he's a God that transforms. Amen? And I tell you, he's the only one that can take your life from where it is and transform it. But you have to be willing to cast it down. You have to be willing to throw it down. And God, when you pick it up again, will change it. Let me ask you today, are you willing to put yourself in the place where God can change you? Or do you resist and say, no, I can't throw it down. I can't cast it down. It's too precious to me. God says, trust me, and I'll change it. Let me ask you to bow your heads tonight. I don't know where you're at tonight. Are you at the place where Moses was? I'm going to a people that are not going to believe who you are. I'm going to speak to a people that will not understand what I'm trying to tell them. And here's the thing. The best witness you have to the world is your own transformed life, your own changed life. Are you willing to let God do that for you? Maybe today you're here and you never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. You're here tonight and you don't know about the love of God and how that Jesus came to die for you. If you're the only person in the world, Jesus would have come and died for you anyway. Because when he died, he had you in mind. Your life may not be going the way you want, or maybe it's going the way you want right now. You think everything's fine. So you don't want to give it to God. But listen, God wants to take your life from something mediocre and change it if you're willing to throw it down. What is it that's keeping you from getting saved? What is it that's keeping you from giving your heart to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to cast it down and let God use you and change you? He died so that you could have eternal life. He died so that you could know him personal as a personal Savior. He was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He was a personal God, and he wants to be a personal God to you by accepting him as your personal Savior. Let me ask you this. You may be here today, and you might be a Christian, and but there's things you're holding back from God. There's things that you have in your heart that you're not willing to cast down. There's things in your life that you're resisting because you know that the moment you do, it's going to involve the whole new level of commitment. Would you be willing to trust God with it? He'll change it. Listen, he gave back Moses that rod, but he used it in a mighty way, in a powerful way, doing miracles that he would never thought possible. Moses had to cast it down first before God can use it. Let me ask you to stand tonight as the music plays. If God has spoken to you tonight, whether in regards to salvation, he's willing to save. He's here tonight. We ask you to come to this altar, get a hold of somebody that you may know and say, I want to know how to be sure of heaven. I want to know how to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I want to have that experience. Listen, we love to show you how. If you come to the altar and say, can someone show me from the Bible how I can know, I can be sure from heaven, how I can know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, we love to do that today. If you're a Christian tonight and God's spoken to your heart as the music plays, don't hold anything back, but come tonight to this altar. Cast it down so that God can change it. And for tonight, we pray that you be with each person here, Lord, that you would, Father, grant each one of them your love and your peace, your safety as they travel home, Lord. Bless them, strengthen them today, and thank you so much for tonight's service. In Jesus' name, amen.